RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our Northeast correspondents are Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, the co-hosts of the RV Family Travel Atlas and Campground of the Week podcasts. And we are also the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Why, thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. Thanks. And I almost called you Cindy Barrett, but I don't want to use the same jokes twice.
That's because you don't want to get called boo-boo again.
I don't want to get called boo-boo again. So where did we go last time, and where are we going to this time?
All right, so last week we reviewed the Platte River Campground in Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore, Michigan. This week, we are going a couple of states to the east, right? Where we hit
to Jellystone Park Quarryville, one of the most off-the-hook Jellystone parks in America.
Right. But before we do that, we have a message from our sponsor, Progressive Insurance. Gazing at the stars and hanging out at the campfire are best enjoyed along with the bliss of saving money by adding an RV policy to another Progressive policy like a car, motorcycle, or boat. Save money and set out on a new journey by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV today.
And it's so cute that you're wearing your Progressive Insurance t-shirt right now that you got on Flo's road trip. Yeah, and it's like a pretty cool, groovy, old-school retro t-shirt.
Yeah, and also it's pretty cool that you can save money on your Progressive policy because then you have it to spend on our really, really fancy resort campground.
Yeah, some people are going to be shocked at the price here.
Yeah, but you know what?
We'll
there's different
that.
Types of travel. Right.
Right. So where is the Jellystone Quarryville located for those of our listeners who might not be quite sure of the geography of Penn's Woods? Did you know that Pennsylvania, like Sylvan, is woods? So in Latin, it means the woods of Penn or Penn's Woods because he owned all of them. He was the original owner of the property upon which Jellystone Quarryville sits. So Sylvan.
And now
woods.
That you've had your history lesson from Jeremy, you're going to get your campground review, okay, folks? All right. So the Quarryville is actually in what is considered Dutch country, Pennsylvania. Okay. This is Lancaster County. This is one of the larger Amish areas in our country.
And it's one of the 40 great RV destinations in the Idiot's Guide. It's really great for RV travel. I mean, there's just a lot of campgrounds. There's a lot of great food. There's a lot of great, you know, the Dutch craftsmanship. And there's a lot of sightseeing to be done there. And it's always like the boys love Dutch country in both Indiana and PA.
Right. So this is a place that, you know, from us in New Jersey and for a lot of people within a few hours, this is a place that people really head to for weekend trips, whether they're RVers or not. For example, when I was young, this would be a destination for my family for a weekend getaway. And it was quite a few times growing up. Then when we got our RV, this was one of the first places, actually, that we took our boys for a weekend destination.
Nationally, I'd say it's probably under the radar as an RV destination, but regionally, you know, for us that are from like New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Delaware, you know, getting to Dutch country is a pretty big trip because it's within striking distance for us. And it's in southern Lancaster County. So Quarryville is, and the campground, they're below the city of Lancaster, and they're kind of close to the bottom of the state as well.
Now, one of the reasons why we picked this as one of our 40 sort of top RV destinations in the country is because not only does it have all this like cultural, you know, sort of regional interest to it, but then it also has great camping, like really quite a bit of great camping.
I could rattle off the name of six great campgrounds in Pennsylvania Dutch Country right now.
Right. So we're going to, you know, so this is really something to put on your list if you are passing through or if you're within the vicinity, get there. And we're going to give you a review of a campground that might be one of the top at your list if you're going to this place.
Absolutely. So this is a Jellystone Park, as we've mentioned. There's about 90 Jellystones in the country now. They seem to be kind of fast approaching 100. It seems like they're probably going to all be pretty happy when they get to 100. And the thing to know, sort of the insider detail on this Jellystone, is it's owned by a company that has six or seven Jellystones, and they are all going for this very like resort, high-end luxury camping experience. And we've been to three of their campgrounds, I think, Jellystone Luray, Lazy River, and this one. And they're all just top campgrounds. I mean, they're like top American campgrounds to me in the resort category.
This is research, people. We're doing serious research
here. I want
to
blow people's minds right now. There are so many small companies in the campground industry that own five campgrounds, 10 campgrounds, 12 campgrounds. There are a lot of small companies out there that own a KOA, a Jellystone, a Good Sam. It gets pretty complicated, but this company seems to be focused on buying pre-existing Jellystones or buying other campgrounds and really turning them into luxurious, top dollar, but we think very worth it, resort campgrounds.
Right. So we've been really interested in sort of watching this model and experiencing this model and then sort of trying to measure it up against the experience that we have at other campgrounds, the price point compared to other campgrounds. And we're really going to focus on that a lot in this review because, you know, the bottom line is this is a phenomenal resort camping experience. I want to say this, even though we've said it before, resort is overused in the campground industry. This is the creme de la creme of resort camping. If you're going to think about a resort, this is a perfect example of it. And the prices are, you know, in line with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, the prices at a campground like this can be like $80 to $120, maybe even topping out at a little over $120 a night. For a lot of our listeners, that's like not an option for you. And that's fine. Like, you know, I understand that. You know, if you don't want to spend $120 on a night of camping, if that seems crazy to you, that's fine. But we think this is like a really awesome choice for a certain type of camper who wants to splurge. And for us, look, this is not the type of place we're going to camp out every weekend. This is a special treat kind of place for us. And we think that if you go, you should kind of just like not really think too much about it. Like, I'm going to go, I'm going to spend X amount of dollars and not really worry about that camping fee because you're getting an entire water park wrapped into the price of that for your whole family.
Yeah, absolutely. And that really is what it's about. It's about separating out of your head the idea of like camping, right? And what that normally costs you and coming here, because what you're getting here is truly an experience. So we're going to talk about what that experience entails.
The way to really look at that price point is to think of it as what you would pay to take your entire family to a water park, but you also get to bring your RV and spend the night. So if I said to you, you can go to a water park and then you can bring all five or six of your kids, bring them to the water park, and guess what? You're going to get to spend the night with your RV and it's all going to cost $120. All of a sudden, we'd think about that quite differently because if you were taking five or six family members to a water park, you're going to spend way more than that.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, I thought about it in terms of our trips to Great Wolf Lodge.
Okay, oh, gosh, so much more expensive.
To me, that's comparable because we do that as a splurge treat with our kids. And Great Wolf Lodge, you can only go to the water park if you stay in the hotel. So the water park is included with the cost of your hotel room. So I think that in a lot of ways, they're very similar experiences. You go, you stay, and you don't have to leave the building.
You can drop $700 a night on Great Wolf Lodge.
Right, depending on when you go during the year. But you think about it and you think, well, the kids were entertained from dawn till midnight, you know,
yeah.
and the water park included. So you walk away thinking, well, that's the whole price of what we spent. And I think that if you've ever been to a Great Wolf Lodge, and they are spread out throughout the country, you know, think about that kind of experience when you go to Quarryville.
Yeah, I can't say this enough. I mean, I really do think of these types of Jellystones as one of the best values in family travel in the country. I know a lot of people look at the price and think it's overpriced. I think it's actually a bargain when you really understand what you're getting and if it's the type of thing that you would enjoy as a family, which yeah. for us, our kids love it.
We believe that, and we also know that many people do not believe that, so that's what kind of why we bring it up over and over again, just because we know we're kind of talking to people who maybe have a different perspective. All right, so let's dive into some of the details.
You know, let's say this too, though. Okay. This campground sold out. You know, it's not like yeah. they're struggling to convince people this is a good model and a good price point.
Yeah.
You know, we were camping with friends and she said, you know, sometimes I think this is expensive, but frankly, they could charge more because yeah. they're sold out and there are people dying to get in.
You're right. You're so absolutely
you
know, right.
If that's how you judge what something should cost, they probably could charge more and still be sold out.
All right. So how big of a campground is this?
Big. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not going to count the number of sites on this map. It's well over 120 sites. Lots of cabins. It's a large campground. And one of the things that was sort of kind of different about this campground is that all of the activities and the pool and all of that stuff, it is not in the middle of the campground. It is actually all off to sort of like the bottom of the campground.
It's like along the edge.
Along
you know?
The edge, mm-hmm. just the way it's designed. It's great. It's perfectly great design. But you can have a site that is pretty far away from all of that stuff. Right.
So yeah, especially like laser tag. Like think about where you guys played laser tag. I know I'm giving right. away information from later in the episode, but it is really far away. So
I'm going to drop one of the insider tips right now just because it makes sense. Like I said, this is a splurge. You know, we recommend if you can afford it and you want to do it, if you get a site that's far away from the pool, rent a golf cart. Just bite the bullet, rent a golf cart. I mean, I have to say, I love having a golf cart at a campground like this.
At a big one, yeah. We never would get a golf cart at a walkable campground. But for us, a place
we
like this.
We had a site way in the back. And it was a nice site. I mean, I asked for a site in a quiet area way in the back. Well, that put me far away from everything. So the golf cart was really, really fun.
All right. So we talked about the price range, right? But let's talk a little more specifically about the ease of booking. Okay. So we went at the height of this of the summer season. And we also went over a weekend and we had to book far in advance.
Months in advance. I mean, I think I booked this 4 months in advance, and there weren't a ton of sites left at that point, but I did get a really good one. And look, we do, our listeners know, we do work for the Jellystone Park sometimes, you know, and they're a sponsor of the podcast. I still have to call and make reservations
at
these campgrounds.
Oh, sure. They're not
going to
boot you guys off the site because we're coming.
No, never works that way. Oh, RVFGA called. Sorry, Jones family. You have to leave the campground.
Nobody's going to do that.
You know,
that.
In all these cases, you know, sponsored trip, not a sponsored trip. I'm calling the campground like, hey, do you have a site? You know?
Yeah.
So I had to call months in advance. If you want to go to this campground, particularly on a summer weekend, you need to call in advance. If you're going Sunday to Thursday, it might not be quite so bad, but the campground was packed. There were not empty sites sitting around.
Right. And I think that at this kind of a place, we're going to dive into the site specifics. I really believe that the sites are so nice. Like there are so many awesome sites at this campground that I would want to really reserve in advance so I could kind of get my like pick of
well,
the lot.
You know, we had a great site. We had a really big site. Now, out of all of the resort campgrounds we've been to, this was the largest site we've had. It was very spacious. I wouldn't go as far to say it was like a state park kind of site.
It was pretty
big. But it was pretty big. A whole other RV could have fit on the site, frankly.
Yeah. The sites were all gravel, right? But they were a nice like stone gravel, super manicured. So a lot of them had the edging of the larger like decorative rocks, okay? So they'd have those larger rocks like almost lining it like a low wall, you know, around your site. And when I say low, I mean like, you know, 7-8 inches. But still, really edged nicely. And then grasses and flowers and trees. And I was stunned by the level of manicured landscaping and the size of the sites for this kind of campground where you expect to be sort of like plugged in next to your neighbor?
A lot of our listeners know when you go to the resort style campground where they're providing you with all kinds of pools and mini golf and all that stuff, a lot of times they cram you in like sardines because, you know, so much of their space is given away to all that common area kind of stuff. So on our second day there, I said something like, oh, we got one of the best sites here. And you were like, well, actually, there's a lot of great sites here. You're like, I've been walking around looking, and I almost didn't believe you. I was like, really?
You did. You reacted when I said to you.
Because it doesn't look like that. There's some weird thing there where it doesn't look like the sites are big. But then when you start walking around and sort of like looking at each site, you're like, oh, that's a good one. Oh, that's a good one. And you're almost never looking at your neighbor's hookups. Just the way they stuttered them, you know, you're almost always have a bit of privacy around the campfire, or at the very least, you're not looking at somebody's black tank.
Well, because it's loops. Everything's like in this very loop-de-loop pattern. So what happens is there's not like these rows. You know, I think that sometimes that's what does campgrounds in, is when they get these long rows of pull-throughs or something, like they forget to do the landscaping in between those
good
rows
point.
And everything. You know,
lots of loop-de-loops.
Yeah.
And like the first time I drove around on the golf cart, I got lost. I mean, I recovered, but I literally was like, I don't know where I am right now.
Well, and that's a difference about this campground, too. One of the first things I said to the boys when we pulled in, and we had been at a lot of smaller campgrounds. We had been at some, you know, national parks and everything. And I said to them, number one, I go, you're not going anywhere on those bikes, you know? I was like, this is not the campground where I'm going to go, hey, go ride your bike, see you back here. I was like, I don't know if they'd ever find a way back. It's a little, because it's like I said, it's looping. It's not these straight roads. They can't see a big loop that just goes around and returns. It is a large campground. I was like, I'm not setting my kids free in the city.
And there's some of the sites you mentioned have drop-offs. They're like a little bit of terracing going on. And you wanted to point out that you might, if you have a little kid, you might want to ask about that and make sure you're not on a site that has a kind of a sharp drop. And that's also something that makes the campground a little confusing, because there's sort of roads that are lower than, you know,
there
than
was
other
a whole
areas.
Row that was like below us.
It's
down
like you could
a
see
slope.
It, but like, how do you get there?
I don't know how you got there. Yeah. But it was such a nice row of sites back there. I mean, gorgeous, tucked back into the woods. Really a nice little row back there. And I would have loved to be back there. But then the site next to us, you know, it had, I think, a drive down to that row. And there was like rock edging along the edge of their site. And I thought, that's such a nice site. But, you know, I know a lot of our listeners have that nightmare age of like the 12-month to the 2-year-old, like just walking, but really bad at it and
don't
doing
stupid
things.
Don't want the riverfront site. With little Johnny.
Yeah. So if you are in that time period of your life with your kids, it's really difficult and you feel like you're like kids always on the brink of doing something incredibly like, you know, ridiculous. Mention that when you're making your reservation.
Yeah, and you're looking at the campground map, you're not going to see that. You're
right.
Not going to see, oh, that site is a drop-off. It's the only information you're going to get if you call, which we tell everyone to always make sure you call. Now, the other thing that's really notable about the sites here, I've never seen such a wide variety of buddy sites, right? I mean, a lot of campgrounds have one buddy site or two. And what we mean by a buddy site is when two campers can go on one site and share a large site together and face each other awning to awning with a common area in the middle. They had buddy sites here for two campers, three campers, four campers. There are so many different contortions of how they do it.
So most buddy sites, if you look for them at campgrounds, and you have to get used to looking for them because they're not necessarily immediately apparent. So you go awning to awning, and the important part is that your hookups are both behind your RVs, right? So they're on opposite sides. Now, at this campground, it was so interesting. They had buddy sites where your RVs would pull through, like back to front. So your front doors would be lined up next to each other, like you would be lined up next to each other to your next door neighbor in your neighborhood. You know, front doors facing
out.
Exactly. And
then you'd have a big shared area in front.
Yeah. Now they had those two, and then you could do the same opposite that. So it would be like if you had four RVs. They could line up like that.
And then cabins interspersed everywhere.
And then cabins were right there. So if you were traveling with a friend that didn't have an RV, they could reserve that cabin that was near it. There were so many configurations that made this a place.
That's the word I meant to use before, not contortions.
like sites bending over backwards.
The sites were a little contorted too. But if you want to camp with some friends or some family or a larger group and like a special treat for, you know, family reunion, whatever, not everybody has an RV, this is one of the best places I've seen where you could probably really find accommodations for the RV people and the non-RV people all in one area, because so many campgrounds have all the cabins all shoved off in one area. So if you've got friends that are cabin people, you're going to be far, far away. So that's what we have to say about the sites. Now, you can't talk Yogi Bear and you can't talk Yogi Bear at Quarryville without talking about all the amenities. And I'm almost intimidated to start talking about them because I'm not going to say all of them. Mm-hmm. The pool is a water park. It's that simple. There's water slides that are good for little kids. There's water slides that are good for kids 10, 11, and 12. The water slides are not like something that an 18-year-old is going to find. Like, this is a thrilling water slide. It's, you know, that's not what they're for.
But the big dump buckets and everything, you know, bigger the kids water were wars. Very into it.
There was, correct me if I'm wrong, a family hot tub and an adults-only hot tub?
Right. So there were actually quite a few pools, and they were terraced out.
There were so many pools.
So there's the big water park area that was really great for the kids, and they loved it, and we spent a lot of time there. Then there was a big pool that was right next to that, and what I loved about this pool was it had a volleyball net in it with a lot of balls there. I'm telling you, the whole time we were there, we had such a good time playing family volleyball with all these other families that would just like
nobody
all,
keeping score.
Nobody's people moving in and out of the game. Over. And, you know, it was like all these like just really laid back people like helping kids jump up to get the volleyball. And like, I don't know, like, it had this great community feel to it.
It was like we were meeting other parents.
It was the first time the boys had ever done anything like that. And they really had a fun time doing it. And then it also had in the middle the basketball net so the other kids could sit over there and do it. Now, up then terraced up on another ledge was a quieter pool. And it really was. It was like a little low key. So if you had kids that like needed a little like less stimulation, a little bit of a break, we were up there with friends, you know, quite a bit, just chilling out. So the kids didn't have to be involved in all the balls and the, you know, and just swimming. And then there was up there a family hot tub and an adult hot tub.
And the boys were thrilled because they love hot tubs, and they'd been to a couple campgrounds in a row that didn't allow kids in the hot tub. There were also cabanas for rent up there. So this campground has some off-the-hook extras that you can plunk down some hard-earned cash for.
But before we say all of the off-the-hook extras, I would like to say that they didn't charge extra for any of the water slides or the water park, you know, things. And I appreciate that.
That's included in the price. Yeah, yes. That's very key at a place like this.
I hate it when I have to pay extra for a water slide.
Good point. Now, the cabanas, it was interesting. We just decided, we were there for 3 nights, and we decided, you know what, we're splurging. We're gonna pay for the extras. And we did. And they had cabanas for $150 a night that had like a fan in them.
A day. Yeah.
Sorry.
It was the whole
$150
day.
For a day. Yeah. For the whole day.
A television,
refrigerator. And I was considering renting one of those, though I didn't care about the TV or any of that stuff, but they were all sold out. It wasn't even an option. And I thought the $150 was a little high on that price, whatever, but I was going to get one.
We had friends coming in.
So we thought, wanted like a special treat.
Wouldn't that be
great? But she said we just opened up two smaller ones. And she said it's just a table and chairs and a cooler in the shade under the cabana right outside of the hot tub. And I was like, that's all I want. Like, I don't need a ceiling fan and I don't need a fridge. And she's like, those are $50 a day. Bingo. Nailed it. Got one. And it was a real hot summer day. Another family came and met us, and we shared that cabana for the day. And it was awesome. I have to say, it was really fun.
The kids, I'm telling you, they'll remember. Like, that's the thing, is just sometimes you do those extra special things, and those are the things the kids are going to remember. Like, they had the lounge chairs, and like, you know, our kids were like lounging on, and our kids don't like lounge on chairs. They were having their snacks and their juice boxes, and they felt like they were just like having this own little kid
party.
And
we'd swim for an hour, mm-hmm. take a break for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Swim for an hour, take a break for 20 minutes. Now, if you think that's an off-the-hook extra, how about the hot tub rentals that they deliver to your site?
Yeah.
Sold out, couldn't get one, people. Some of you out there are like, yeah, I want a hot tub rental. Others of you out there are like all judgy right now, like that ain't
right.
camping.
Right.
You know, but we were going to get one and they were sold out. So they didn't even have any.
Our kids go to a lot of campgrounds. And one of the ongoing, like, great disappointments of their life is when we are at a campground, which has an adult only hot tub. They get existentially like depressed about it. Like they can't believe they can't go in the hot tub. So when I was making the reservation for this campground, they were saying, oh, you want this hot tub? And I actually thought about it for a minute and like I priced it out, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, no, we're just going to go with the golf cart. I chickened out. Then we got there and I said to you, okay, we got to get the hot tub. Like, we just have to be all in at this campground. So we said, go try to get the hot tub. And you came back and you said, they don't have any.
Yeah. And I think they were $100 a day. I think they were okay. You could say it's a little bit crazy, but they're delivering a hot tub to your site.
We saw
and then compared to the $150 cabana. In my mind, all of a sudden, I was like, "That's I'm going to save $50. Like, I can save $50.
The boys would have lost their marbles if we had had a hot tub at our site. But then the thing was, is then we saw that they had a family hot tub, and I was like,
yeah, it didn't seem as necessary. Yeah. But then I thought, man, I wonder if they still rent those hot tubs like in October. Mm. Like, I'd love to go on a fall weekend on a cool night and have that hot tub on my site. Oh, my goodness.
That's fun.
Why do people that go to resorts have to have all that kind of crazy, right. I mean, and, that experience.
Like, and that is the whole point here, is that when you go to a resort in the Caribbean, you get a hot tub. It's there, right? So this is mimicking that experience in a campground environment. This is not camping. Don't say, oh, that's not camping. Duh, it's a resort. You're just staying in your RV.
It's truly a resort experience. So yeah. Look, oh my gosh, that's just the beginning. The laser tag area was awesome. It was like a military grade training facility. And here's something that is a bargain. The laser tag at the Jellystone at Lazy River and Jellystone Quarryville per person was either $7, $8, $9, or $10. Forgive me, I should know, but it was like $7 to $10 a person.
Later on at night, if you did it earlier in the day, it was $5. So it was cheaper.
Okay, so it was like mm-hmm. $5 in the day mm-hmm. and like $8 at
seven
night
or eight
something
at night,
like that.
Yeah.
And that's an hour of laser tag. I find that to be a great bargain for how much fun it is.
Yeah, because you think about, we live by a boardwalk because we're on the Jersey Shore. So you think about like how much batting cages cost or things like that you just kind of like pay that fee to do an activity. This is a steal. And that was the boys' like great obsession. Campground obsession, you know.
I was
summer.
My great campground obsession you, this summer. I had gosh, so much fun. It was ridiculous. Now they have a great mini golf course. Now these Jellystones, this is like a miniature golf course like you'd find at the Jersey Shore on the boardwalk. They're that good. That maybe not like the Myrtle Beach ones, you know, like those ones where there's waterfalls and all that stuff.
Moving
but that's,
dinosaurs.
That's included in your camping fee. So I've said this before on the show. If you want to take your whole family out miniature golfing at the boardwalk, you could spend $30 or $40. Well, that's included in your site that's costing you $90, $100, $110 bucks a night. So really nice miniature golf. Gem mining, okay, which is not
that
Stephanie's favorite activity.
No.
And that's an extra price.
Extra cost.
Okay. There was not one, but two Gaga ball pits. There was a jumping pillow and a jump pad. They had both. We love it when campgrounds had both. A huge modern playground, an outdoor theater, a pedal cart track, shuffleboard, basketball, horseshoes. And one thing I really like about some of the Jellystones we've been to recently, we've really noticed this a lot, that they also do want to keep the teenagers entertained. So where a 16-year-old is not going to be like finding the water slides off the hook thrilling. I mean, am I right about that?
Yeah, and they're not going to like go hugging Yogi either at the flag raising.
Oh, well, Max won't hug. Is like
no,
too cool to hug Yogi.
The 7-year-olds are over.
So, but they have like a real basketball court. Right? Like they have a full court. It's not like a gigantic Olympic size full court. Not that you call a full court Olympic size. I used to play basketball, but it's like a real full court. You could get a pickup game and play 5-on-5 basketball. So we're noticing about some of the Yogis is that the teenagers can go off and have a pickup game of volleyball or basketball. And it's not just like that basketball hoop stuck on a mound of dirt, you know, up behind the camp store.
All right. So do you have any other insider details that I know we gave a lot kind of peppered through there, but, you know, we talked about, you know, definitely renting the golf cart. We talked about the different kinds of sites. What else do you have?
We did Jellystone Lazy River this summer. We did Jellystone Quarryville, and we actually did Barton Lake. And all three of those are resort style yogis. They all have a good number of seasonals, and they're sold out. They can become hectic places on the weekend. So we were at these different places at the weekend and sometimes during the week. The crowds drop off significantly Sunday night. So my insider tip is, if you're going to go to Jellystone Quarryville, if you're going to go to Jellystone Lazy River, whichever one is nearby you, there's a bunch of these resort style Jellystones. If you can, if your schedule allows it, I'd consider going like Sunday to Thursday. You know, if you have a week off, maybe just do Sunday to Thursday, because you are going to spend a little more camping there, and you're going to have a lot less of a crowd. You're going to have the place more to yourself.
Yeah, good tip. Absolutely. All right, now, you want to do Nobody's Perfect? You ready? You want me to go first?
Or? You go first.
Okay. So Quarryville does allow day visitors. And this is something that a lot of these resort campgrounds do that have these great water park facilities. They allow people to come in for the day and pay a price to use the water park facilities. So I'm not necessarily against this policy. We've seen it in action at quite a few campgrounds that we visited. And what my opinion is on the topic is that if you as a campground owner are going to allow day use at your campground, you need to have your ducks in a row about it. You need to be very thoughtful. You need to have your policies in place. And you need to be very careful that it never impacts the experience of your actual campers. Because like I said, I mentioned Great Wolf Lodge before and that we splurge for that. Great Wolf Lodge has a policy that you have to stay at their hotel in order to use the facilities there. And what that does is it makes it feel exclusive, right?
See, and you're never waiting in line at Great Wolf Lodge for that long.
Right, because they limit the amount of usage, right? So it's a premium. It's putting a premium price on the experience. So for the most part, I'm not sure how they limit the amount of users that come in or so. I wouldn't say that we felt overwhelmed on the weekend. We were there.
The pool was packed. I mean, the pool was literally packed. We happened to have fun doing the volleyball and stuff. Other people might go, oh, this is too hectic for me.
Right. So leaving, what happened was they had very good customer service, very friendly people at the front
desk. There's like four desks. Like you check in. It's like literally checking in at a hotel.
Yeah.
There's four people there and you wait in line and you get called. And it is. It's like a hotel. It's like concierge service.
Right. So we were hooked up. We were pulling out and I followed the golf cart, right, with the RV out to the front. And then I was running in. I parked the golf cart and I was running in with the golf cart key to drop it off. So we were hitched up. Our kids are all in the car. You're out, like ready to go. And I was just running in. All I needed to do was drop off the golf cart key. Well, I ended up, there was two people behind the desk and one of them was on the phone doing reservations. And the other person, I was behind a group of probably 11 or 12 people who were there for a day group visit. And there was a lot involved in checking them in for the day. Like they had to go over all these policies and rules and blah, blah, blah. And there was like, who's your kids? And here's your, you know, bands. And so what happened was I was just trying to drop off a golf cart key. And I felt rude. Like my manners kept me from like going up to the desk and just like throwing the key in the lady's face, like, here you go, and going. But meanwhile, I must have waited in line for a good 10 to 15 minutes. And I was a camper there just trying to drop off a key. So my real advice here and my real, like, Nobody's Perfect recommendation is you need, if you are going to invite day stay visitors onto your campground, you need to have a dedicated check-in service for them. Nobody who is a camper should ever be waiting in line behind people who are day visitors. And I feel that very strongly.
Or a pre-check-in or something.
Anything,
get that done
right
over the phone, something like that. Yeah, I agree. You shouldn't be waiting in line for 15 minutes
right
behind the day folks.
You have to be able to have the personnel to separate those services out if you're going to offer them.
My Nobody's Perfect, and I'd love to hear other opinions out this out there in listener land if you want to email us or just drop us a comment. I don't like having to wear a bracelet at a campground. you know, and most of these yogis, they make you wear a bracelet to get into the pools and all of that stuff. And I find them slightly uncomfortable. And the boys, they annoy them at night and they rip them off. And they say, if it bothers you and you want to rip it off at night, you can, you know, bring it back in and get a new one. Well, I don't want to have to do that in the morning. You know, if Wesley's falls off because his wrist is so thin, I don't, you know, it's not something I want to deal with. So I think there's just a better way than having these bracelets to identify that you actually should be at the campground and should be a guest.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it because I don't like them at all. But then at the same time, with so many guests and so many, I go, what is their option? I don't know. I don't know what their other option is. What's
funny is, we got home recently from the big shebang, from the big three-week Midwestern trip, and we spent the night, first night at home, woke up the next day, my bracelet was on.
You got used to it.
I had totally forgotten it was there, so I feel like a little bit of a crank complaining about it. But then I think it was at Lazy River, and it might have been at Quarryville too. Then when I got a golf cart, there was a second bracelet.
Yeah.
There was the golf cart bracelet
that put and then the pool bracelet.
That got me a little bit irritated. Have a special bracelet for somebody who's a guest with a golf cart.
Well, because you can't have a golf cart and not be a
guest.
That's
what I kept saying is like, so you can come in and rent a golf cart and just drive it around but not actually be a guest.
So then you just need the golf cart bracelet because that's going to cover both.
They want to make sure that you're 18 and you're actually signed up for the golf cart. That's what the deal is. You're not like a 16-year-old kid riding around in the golf cart when you shouldn't be. So it's more about the age of the person. But still, there should be one bracelet that I get for that
right.
That says you are a guest who's allowed to ride the golf cart.
Yeah, that's just thinking the thing through. That's what I'm saying. Like, as soon as you start to offer these extra extraordinary services for a campground, right? Like, this is above and beyond what the standard campground offers.
Well, there's more rules.
You've got to think through all the applications for your guests and having your guests really feel like it's a luxurious experience. So when we compare it to a resort experience at a hotel, nobody is wearing, like, nobody has to, like, prove to every person they come across in a hotel, I belong here.
Why can't they just make bracelets that you can take on and off? Like, those bracelets are always the ones you button and then you have to rip them off.
They don't want people giving them out,
passing them to somebody, right? There's always somebody who breaks the rules and ruins it for everybody else.
Right, but then that entails tightening your systems in terms of being like a special location resort, right? How do you do that? I don't know, but I'm not in the business. You are. Right. I'm the customer.
So look, to summarize, you know, if you want the resort camping experience and you love that Yogi Bear thing, there might not be a better Yogi Bear in the country. And
no,
it was their campground of the year this past year. So if you're anywhere in that tri-state area, anywhere within striking distance of Jellystone Quarryville, I had a blast. You had a blast. The kids had a blast.
Oh, absolutely, they did. It'll be a memory for them for ages. It's just it's true family fun.
And if you
fun.
Don't want to spend money on Disney, I'm sorry, I come back to this. You know, a Disney vacation is multiple times more expensive than this. And maybe you don't want to spend on that Disney vacation, but you want something that's maybe a bit more, you know, exciting or memorable than a regular campground. And I'm not saying you can't have an amazing time at a regular campground because we do all the time. But this could be that place for that really special long weekend or week's vacation.
All right. Now, of course, activities are a big part of the Yogi experience. So we are going to be back in a minute and we're going to talk about the kinds of scheduled activities they have here. Stay tuned.
Since 1968, Jayco, the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories together.
Today, Jayco offers everything from camping trailers to gas Class A motorhomes, complete with more standard features and a longer, stronger 2-year warranty.
Jayco gives you the value you're looking for and the peace of mind you deserve. Lots of family fun is to be had around a campfire with a Jayco nearby.
For more information, visit your closest Jayco dealer or jayco.com. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We just gave you our review of the Jellystone Park in Quarryville, Pennsylvania. And breaking with Campground of the Week tradition, we're not going to take you out into the outside area in Dutch country where there are all kinds of wonderful things to do. But this is a resort-style campground. We are going to focus on the things to do right there at the campground, starting with Amish baked goods.
Yeah, because it's a real weak spot for us. We like those Amish baked goods, all five of us in the family. Oh, wait, no, six of us, because Maggie got a hold of a couple of those Amish
baked. Maggie got a hold of that whole loaf of bread. I forgot about that.
She did. It was not
so good. Twice a week, they basically have like a little Amish market, and they had maybe 5 to 10 vendors show up selling some woodcrafted stuff, and, you know, most importantly, treats, baked goods.
Yeah, produce, everything. We got a watermelon, corn, tomatoes, sticky buns, shoe
fly pie. Stephanie's
got
to throw in that we bought like some corn.
We did.
So she doesn't feel as bad.
We bought
cinnamon buns and cookies and stuff like
moon
that.
Moon pies, yeah.
So listen, this is a whole world. When you enter this campground, you don't have to leave. And in fact, we didn't leave. For 3 nights, we stayed at the campground without leaving the campground. In fact, I pulled out and I was like, oh man, I don't have a full tank of gas. Luckily, I didn't really need one because we were just traveling back home to New Jersey. So I didn't even think to leave the campground for gas. So let's talk about the activities. Now, what separates this Yogi Bear campground from a lot of other private campgrounds, even ones that do have activities like a KOA, is that the activities are on the hour. Like, there are sometimes 10 to 12 activities in a day.
Yes. So why don't you just give some examples of what those activities were here?
What I want to do is give an example from a Monday, because a lot of campgrounds just have activities on the weekends. This is every single day. Their activity list on Monday doesn't look much different than it does on Saturday. So are you ready for this?
I'm ready. Listening. I know you love reading.
Monday, 8:30, Yogi Bear cartoons in the pavilion. 9:30, kids visit with Yogi Bear outside the ranger station. 10 a.m., color a Jellystone Park t-shirt, bag, pillowcase, and more. 12 p.m., hula hoop contest. 1 p.m., field relay races. 2 p.m., pool games. 3 p.m., parachute games. 4 p.m., hayride around the campground. 4:30, bears on the prowl. Watch out for your picnic baskets. The bears are loose. And they drive the bears around on the golf courts. And you can just
meet them. I really like that they did that. And we also met Ranger Smith for the first time.
Yes, so the boys often ask, where is Ranger Smith? And there he was. He is a Quarryville. 6 p.m., coloring at the pavilion. 7 p.m., candy bar bingo. 9 p.m., glow stick hayride. Meet at the flagpole. Kids get one free glow stick. And that glow stick hayride, the one night, it went around and around and around. And they were like doing some chant or some cheering.
No, just anytime they passed anybody at a fire, you know, at a fire campfire, they were like, hey!
And it was like kind of charming, but kind of not all at the same time.
Yeah,
but this is a good time campground. This is kind of like a family party style campground. Yeah. So you
don't
know,
go there if you're alive. If you're a cantankerous.
If you're a cantankerous curmudgeon, do not go. Okay. Now, to give you a sense of some of the things we did when we were there, you know, we were there like Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. We did the flag raising with Yogi. We always love that in the morning. We think that's a really nice way to start the day. And we did ceramics in the pavilion. Why don't
we
tell our listeners about that? No, you're right. We did sand art.
Yeah. Which two of our children chose to do. Max was just fine playing Gaga ball. He had no need to do sand art whatsoever. But Theo and Wes did sand art. And the thing was, is that everything here is very organized. So it was well done. You waited in line for it to pick out which thing you wanted to fill with sand. They had plenty of colors. They were spread out all over the pavilion. So it was just kind of one of those things where you felt like you could do the activity without feeling like you were like elbowing through people, which some campgrounds kind of don't plan those kinds of things ahead in terms of crafts and supplies. So that was nice. Now, another thing that they had was the entertainment that they have in the pavilion. I really found to be a cut above like the live entertainment. It was a luau theme this week, and they actually had this Hawaiian.
It's the luauiest luau.
Yeah, well, they had a Hawaiian performer. Like, this man was, a Hawaiian performer. I guess ethnically he was Hawaiian, and his children, and they were doing like,
how else could you be Hawaiian?
No, I mean,
besides
like,
ethnically.
Well, you could just be like, you could live there. Natively. Natively Hawaiian.
She always makes me seem stupid when I try to make her seem stupid.
Oh, yeah. That's not a good strategy for you.
It never works.
So the family, like, they did dances, but also comedian routines, and they brought people up from the audience to do the different dances. And it was really funny because they had, like, the men with their shirts off, you know, and everything doing it. And it was very entertaining, and I enjoyed watching it tremendously. Like, I kind of felt like it was more like the live entertainment you'd see, like, on a cruise ship. Or, you know, it definitely
Free, right? So mm-hmm. there's so many of these things are free. Now, if you're getting something, you know, if you're getting the bottle and filling it with sand, there's usually some small fee attached, and it's always very nominal. But you could just pack your day with stuff that's of no extra charge to you beyond your camping fee.
Right. So a big star of the show for us this summer in that boys in the age of 7, you know, kind of stage is the any sort of organized games was a big hit. So they have, like, the field races, the relay races,
kickball,
all of those things. It's like recess for the boys, you know, at school. And
they would get there 20 minutes early and sit and wait.
Yeah.
They'd be the only two kids there, and they would sit and wait over and over again. I saw this for kickball. They would show up 20 minutes early.
They check in, mom, what time is it? Is it that time for that yet? You know, they just love that. And so the campgrounds that we stayed at this summer, we stayed at quite a few of them that had the organized activities, not just a basketball court, but the actual recreation person sitting there doing the relay races or doing
and
the ball.
We have a confession to make.
Okay.
We actually left our son Max at the Gaga Ball Pit. He now runs the Gaga Ball Pit. He has a little tent that he pitched next to the Gaga Ball Pit, and he's enjoying life there. He really doesn't feel like he needs us anymore.
We got him a tiny trailer.
He's got a little teardrop next to the Gaga Ball Pit.
You took it personally. You were like, don't you want to play catch?
Oh my God, Max, you want to go play catch? No, I want to play Gaga Ball.
That's what he liked to do.
And
it's
he was asking me to play, but, you know, for the most part, it's the kids that are playing, you know, like that lumbering adult steps in. It's like,
what's
wrong with that guy there, you know?
Look at the guy who never grew up.
He thinks he's so cool.
Peter Pan over there.
And then it's like, if you really play to win, you look like an idiot. But then if you, like, let yourself lose, you look like an idiot.
Your
and
son
then
so you just
like,
you anymore.
You just like face the reality of, like, looking like an idiot.
It's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, because it's Gaga Ball. Like, when I was playing basketball with the boys, I was like, I'm going to win. Like, I don't care if that kid's 8, you know, I'm going to shoot a jumper in his eye. But when it's Gaga Ball, it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, so it's nice to have that sort of, like, college age or teenager, like, camp counselor that sits there and runs the game. I think that it works really well at a campground, and it doesn't cost a campground a lot of money to do that, especially if they do it, like, twice a day, once in the morning and once in the afternoon or something like that. And I think that is a huge thing that this campground
has. You just reminded me of Jellystone Marion from last summer, Marion, North Carolina, and all the camp workers have handles, you know, like nicknames. And the boy's favorite, do you remember his name? Nitro.
Nitro. Okay. It was
Nitro,
like,
ran the Gaga Ball Pit. Yeah. Like, nicest, like, 16-year-old guy ever. So good. And that's another thing these Jellystones get right. You know, they have these 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds running these organized events with the kids. And they're well-trained. They're good. The kids kind of look up to them because they're older.
Still fun.
These kids are still fun. And they're trying to get the kids to have fun. They're not trying to be cool. They're really there to show the kids a good time.
Yeah. So, you know, we really used the pool area. We were in the mood to sit around the pool a lot during this time, and we really took advantage of that. But then, you know, don't miss out on looking at that schedule and checking out the things that'll really appeal to your kids. For us, for our kids, it's the sports and some of the, you know, crafts. But for your kids, it might be something else. There's something for everyone at this
campground. At the same time, don't let the kids lead you around with the schedule in their hand, going from one thing to the next, running you ragged, so by 9 o'clock at night you're exhausted. You know, we've had other parents tell us, we do not let the kids see the schedule.
Yeah. We
keep a pretty tight hold on the schedule, so we're controlling what they, you know, what they do and what they don't do.
Things close at certain times
because they just want to keep going, you know.
Yeah.
If there was Gaga Ball at 4 a.m, our boys would be there waiting at 3:30 a.m.
yeah, they asked if Santa delivered Gaga Ball. pits.
They want a gonka ball pit built in the backyard, which sounds decadent, but at the same time, it's possible, isn't it? It wouldn't be that expensive to build one or have someone build a gonka ball pit.
Yeah. I don't know. You
can Any of our listeners out there, if you have a gonka ball pit in your backyard, it's time to come out of the shadows. Let other people tell us.
How did you do it? What did you pay for it?
If you're running an adults-only Gaga Ball League, we're not going to judge you.
No.
You know, we don't do that here.
No judgment zone.
But what we do here is thank our sponsors. So a big thanks to Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, head over to jayco.com. At this point, all of the 2017s are up, including the Jayco Octane Superlight 272, which is on order for RV FTA, and I couldn't be more excited about it.
And that's also, not very subtle.
You're the one that spilled the beans on that. And also a big thanks to Progressive Insurance.
Yeah, so Progressive Insurance wants to present 50 Progressive Adventures, okay? And this is our first review, surprisingly enough, for the state of Pennsylvania. So we have a unique attraction in Pennsylvania that needs to be seen but is off the beaten track. If you travel to the Keystone State, be sure to relax and reflect at the Colomaceal Megalith Park in Bangor, Pennsylvania. The founders of the Colomaceal modeled it after the ancient Celtic Isle of Iona, a spiritual retreat off the coast of Scotland, and the stone structures are meant to be a place of tranquility and deep thought. Adventure awaits with Progressive.
Now, do you bring your kids to reach that place of tranquility and deep thought, or do you leave them in the car and you just,
Leave them in the car.
You can't leave your kids in the car. No, but we leave them in the car, but we leave you in the car with them, or me in the car with them.
We take turns experiencing tranquility. That's what we should do. That's what we do on a regular basis.
Parents can never experience tranquility together.
No.
It is just something we have to take turns doing at this point.
We haven't mastered that.
Unless you want to pay a lot of money to a babysitter.
It's expensive, that babysitting thing. All right. Thank you so much for listening to our review of the Jellystone Quarryville in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. We will see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.